With the continuing turmoil in Egypt, we have decided it prudent to place a call to the U.S. Embassy in Cairo. Let's dial that number now, if we could, please. Thank goodness for Skype.
Are they expecting the call?
Always.
Good.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, Cairo?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, this is Cairo.
Oh, dear.
Hi, this is the Mike O'Mara Show calling from Washington, D.C.
What show?
Mike O'Mara Radio Program.
Is this the U.S. Embassy?
This is the U.S. Embassy in Egypt.
Really?
Is this the front desk?
Who is this?
This is Rob Spiewak with the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm joined by Oscar Santana and Buzz Burbank.
Rob, Oscar, Buzz.
Hi.
It's Charlie.
Charlie?
Charlie.
I'm working at the American Embassy now.
What are you doing over there?
I'm fighting off the bad guys.
Oh, good for you, yeah.
Man, these people are crazy in the head. Batsa.
They're What's very upset.
They're what?
Batsa.
No kidding.
Like Don used to say, Batsa and the Gagutsa.
So how, you're over there. When did you get this job?
Oh, about a week ago.
Oh, bad timing, you know, as always,
Charlie. I'll tell you, they were losing people over here like everybody was quitting.
Yeah.
Pussies.
Did you even need to send a resume?
You know, I just called and I said I saw the ad on Craigslist.
Yeah, I didn't know you surfed Craigslist.
Oh, I do all the time.
What do you get on Craigslist?
I get all sorts of, I get my car. I get my furniture.
Uh-huh.
And I called, I saw the ad. Yeah. Wanted. Egyptian receptionist.
You've picked a bad time to go to Egypt. The Arabs there are revolting.
They're going back, Buzz.
Oh, stop it.
You're on the radio, Charlie.
Man, are they crazy over here? Yeah, they don't like Americans.
They're very upset.
That's right.
Charlie, how's the Egyptian cuisine?
Oh, it sucks.
What's the problem?
It's just all you eat it with your fingers and there's no good pizza. I'm not a happy camper at all.
What about, have you had any trouble with the rubber bullets?
They bounce right off of me.
What? No
kidding? Of course they do.
Yeah, they. As a matter of fact, yesterday in the courtyard here at the embassy, and, you know,
what?
All embassies have courtyards.
Of course they do.
With
they
a fountain, right?
Just like Steve McQueen in the sand pebbles.
Uh-huh. It's partly
There's
for protection.
There's an elderly reference. That's for all the 70-year-olds in our listening audience.
You still love Steve McQueen.
I love the sand pebbles.
It's your favorite movie?
Love the sand pebbles.
How about Bullet?
You ever see the You ever see the sand pebbles, Oscar?
No, I haven't. Is that a movie?
Yes,
it's a great movie.
It's a motion picture.
Steve McQueen, it really
is.
A man's
man. All about embassies and such. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yesterday.
Moment of clarity.
Yesterday in the courtyard, the Marines was practicing with their rubber bullets on me.
Right?
Really?
Just to see, and it was, you know.
Now, is that part of your job description? Or were you on lunch?
Oh,
or
no. I just like them. You know, they poke a little fun, but I had a good time. It'd be like, bang, ow, bang, ow, bang, ow.
Yeah, I understand.
Charlie,
yeah.
Is that the only initiative you're working on while in Egypt?
I'm not working on what?
Initiative.
What's that?
You probably have an initiative for maybe getting some Americans out of Egypt.
What is it?
Initiative.
I don't know that word.
Your mission, your task. Aren't you supposed to
don't
be getting...
Don't know the word initiative.
Are you making good money?
Yes.
What are they paying?
$1.25 an hour.
Really?
Wow,
and all the hummus that I can eat.
But you hate hummus.
I hate hummus, but it's okay if you put sugar on it.
Oh.
I like it. I like it. Why? So I like it.
What do you have planned for today?
Well, it's going to be another day of leaning.
Leaning?
Leaning on the embassy door. They're trying like hell to get in here. They won't with me leaning on it, though.
No, you lean real hard. And also,
I do. I lean real hard.
Do you have enough bricks?
Bricks?
Yeah, for throwing.
I don't throw them. I only throw the ones they throw at me.
Charlie, you
throw them back.
You really should get out of there. Americans are being urged to evacuate.
Are you kidding me?
No, I wouldn't kid you about that.
Well, they told me I have to stay through next Thursday.
And then what?
And then they said they might send a helicopter. There's nobody else here. Yeah, but I figured, you know, I'll just stay. Lots of free food, lots of stuff in the freezer.
Sure.
You know, and if something bad happens,
you can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
There's an American plane.
American Flight 625 crashed April 27, 1976.
You don't have to take American. There's a lot of flights.
Yeah, take another airline.
Continental
crashed November 15, 1987. Flight 1713, 28 casualties.
There's a Delta.
Yeah.
Delta, I mean, it leaves a midnight ray, you know, but Delta, how's Delta?
The Delta crashed August 2nd, 1985, Lockheed L-1011, Dallas-Fort Worth. Terrible wind.
All airlines.
135.
All airlines have crashed at one time or another. That doesn't mean that they are not safe.
Qantas.
Qantas?
Qantas never crashed.
I mean, that's going to do me a lot of good, Ray.
Yeah.
You see, Qantas doesn't fly to L.A. out of Cincinnati. You have got to get to Melbourne, Australia, in order to get the plane that flies to Los Angeles. Do you hear me?
Canberra's a capital. 16.2 million population. Six very Don't lovely beach.
You and I are going to get on this f***ing plane.
Yeah, no, no.
We're not going to take the plane. He's okay. He's okay. He's okay. We're not going to take the plane. He was upset. We were going to take the plane. We're not going to take the plane now. We're not going to take the plane, right? We're not going to fly, okay?
No flying.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Okay. I often get this thought. I have for my entire career.
Yes.
I think of the individual that has never, ever heard us before.
Hi.
And they tune into this show.
Yeah.
And that last 6 minutes of content
right.
is the first thing they hear. And then if they're looking in on Ustream, they hear Dustin Hoffman screaming like he's been stabbed.
A mentally challenged man.
And they watch Rob and I unhinging our jaws laughing at Dustin Hoffman screaming.
I'd like to put it on the listener to understand Charlie's backstory.
This is
because
true.
If this is their first listen,
yeah, they won't get it.
And they're still gonna
come,
send a truck.
Still to come, our interview with Chris Burke.
Yes, Chris
All
Burke.
On today's show.
It's a theme show that we have today. Enjoyed across America on stations like Iowa's 1630 KCJJ and Vermont's 107.1 The Game, and in 147 countries around the world.
Wow.
From the Cappy Fiber Studios, this is MikeO'MaraShow.com. It is... What is today's show?
It is
Monday.
The 31st.
Monday.
That's right. Last day of January.
It is Monday, Jan 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tomorrow's Feb.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I had the wrong sheet.
And
I
you all know what that
sheet
means.
Last night, for some reason, when I was writing my stuff last night, very skillfully on yellow notepads.
Well, nice. You know, all the good disc jockeys keep their prep in their back pocket.
This is true. I do now. I do. You know, I'm like, I brought this thing along.
Yeah.
And I realized DJs love to do that.
It's presumptuous.
Because DJs think, you know, oh, I'm going to work with a briefcase. I can just fold it up and put it in my pocket.
You have your notes.
You're like
the
Fonzie.
Magic is on that yellow page.
And that way, like when I'm going to the Edge Studios in the morning, I bring my lunchbox and, you know, my jeans, and I put my folded piece of paper.
You're a big Fred Flintstone lunchbox.
Yes. That's all that I need.
Lunch pail.
What else do I have?
One of those is for this show.
But for some reason, I wrote down Jan 30. I get very confused with numbers.
Well, you were doing your Sunday show.
Dates are tough.
Dates are very tough.
Yes,
very,
especially
very tough to remember.
Dates.
First
dates.
Together.
First dates, some of them can be marvelous,
yes,
though.
They can.
Yes, they
some
can.
Of them simply marvelous. Our show today is sponsored. I don't know why, but it is. It's sponsored by RIP Digital. Convert your entire CD collection to high-quality MP3 files without spending hours at the computer. And RIP Digital can find album art and track information that iTunes can't.
Right.
Get rid of the CD clutter and get your long-lost favorites into your iPod or home theater system. RIP Digital converted Buzz's music, and that took them hours.
It did.
Because you had the music. You had
really?
Music back there from, you know, what I'm calling you.
Oh, that was some of the newer stuff. You forgot about the...
Eyes are blue, and all what those fine people do. Has anybody seen my girl?
It's not easy to convert those wax spindles.
Our RIP Digital did it for Buzz. They can do it for you. I'm in a goofy mood.
You know what's great is I used to listen to the RIP Digital program, and album art was a regular
That's
on
right.
that show.
Very talented guy, RIP Digital. RIP Digital. Check their ad out on our website or visit ripdigital.com.
Please do that.
All right, I want to say thank you to Mark and to Buzz and to RJ and to Rob and to Oscar. Thank you for my new snowblower.
Hey, congratulations.
Did we get a good buy?
He didn't know it. He was the only one that didn't know it yet.
Yeah.
It's really great.
It does not. Rob, if you ever want to use it, it's yours.
Great. How about if I really want you to bring it to me and you can blow my driveway?
Yeah.
Come to my house and blow something.
I said to Buzz, I mean this, I mean it, mean it, mean it, mean it. It is anybody's for the taking.
It's surely not convenient, though, for us to pick it up.
No, it isn't.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
thank
you. You can say it the way you want,
pay,
to, but it's
listen,
not convenient.
I plan to pay the show back.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, we all have plans.
Did we get a good buy?
And you know, Mike,
we did get a good buy.
Good. I want you to know this.
$2,000.
No.
No, no, it was not. No, of course not.
Anytime you want to come and use my stove, just come.
That's
and
right.
I'll help you. I'll open. I'll hold the door,
mm-hmm.
and you can take it and just keep it as long as, and then bring it back when you're done.
His
a stove, a two stove.
Name was Mike, and he stole from the show. And he stole on a regular basis. Anyway, no. The I guarantee this is the
get ready, America. Here comes a guarantee.
This is the overwhelming thought that has been in my brain.
And I think you're right about this.
Since I did this, Buzz, I feel this as strongly as any thought.
Because it's bedrock foundation and your core of belief.
I believe that we will now get 2 more inches of snow,
if that,
in a decade. We will no longer, we will not get anything more than a flurry. Even this storm that's coming tonight.
Right, the ice
it's
storm.
Ice. Mm-hmm. Of course it's going to be an ice storm. Because I bought a snowblower.
Right.
And I bought the snowblower thinking that it would be snow.
Hey, Rockefeller.
And I'd be doing my net. Yes, yes.
Think how much money you could have saved if you bought a hairdryer. Would have been more helpful tonight.
At least you waited a year. That's on the bright side.
I waited a year. Yeah. But I just thought, really, in the back of my mind for this impulse purchase... And I'd talk to
you. Doesn't count as an impulse because you've been talking about it for 5 years.
I haven't talked about
it.
Premeditated. I've been talking about it for 5 years. But I said to myself, the kicker was it was Saturday, and I knew this thing was coming in this week.
Yes.
And I said, and then you could have heard the F word come out of my office when I read that forecast last night when I heard freezing rain, wintry mix turning to all rain. And I was like, I thought maybe the mix would be like the mix was last
time. Well, and the truth is,
best mix.
You're looking forward to getting out there. You want to play with the snowblower. You want to use it.
To be honest with you, I took it out, gave it a test run, and
what did you do? Throw oatmeal on the porch?
No, I had part of my driveway still had some snow in it.
Okay,
and so I was able to give it a test run.
What brand?
It's a Husky.
Husky.
Hey, they used to make my pants.
They make good wagons.
It's not. I didn't think it was. I wasn't going to buy the elite.
And
of
what
the elite.
Is the Cadillac of snowblowers?
The Cadillac of snowblowers might be Cub Cadet.
Oh, they make great stuff.
But no, there's another one that's got like a weird name.
How about Toro? Is Toro a big deal?
Toro's a big one. Toro's, but that's like Honda has them.
Yeah,
and they're like $2,000.
Snow in Japan.
I know, but yes, there is.
Is there?
But they had the Winter Olympics. It's in Sapporo.
What is that on top of Mount Fuji?
Yeah, you know what that is.
I just got done reading
disdain and untrustful.
I just got done reading the book by the same lady that wrote Seabiscuit.
Oh,
Lauren Hillenbrand.
Right. And I never know her name.
Unbroken.
Right.
Unbroken. Finally remember the title. And a lot of it takes place in this horrible winter they have in a prison camp.
It's called Unbroken.
Unbroken.
Is there any way you could actually test that snowblower out? Because there's a path that comes from the street adjacent to your house that hasn't been snowblowed.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, because I was about to walk and I realized I have to walk.
No, that's all the salt, Oscar. That might be left all,
it could
there.
Be the salt licks as well.
Yeah.
Mark,
I'll do that. I will do that after the show.
Oh, I just figured since you have it, might as well try
it. Do you want
it
me
out.
To do it now?
I don't care about it. No.
No, here's
wish we could get a microphone out there.
That'd be great.
Or
we
I can
maybe
video,
a dat recorder.
I'll video it after the show if you want.
That would put it up on the website.
Okay, even better.
How comfortable is the seat on it?
No, but then you'll
be able to see it. But I worry about the unevenness of it.
Is it stones?
Huh?
I think it's a walkway, right? Or is it actual
it's
stone?
Got little slate things,
yeah.
But I have to. I'm going to have to keep it.
Well, it'd be good practice. At least.
Can you raise or lower it like a lawnmower as to how much it wants to?
No. It goes flat along the ground. It's really supposed to be on like a sidewalk or my driveway or the sidewalk out here, and I can do it also on the walkway because that's brick.
Some apparently you can use anywhere.
Incidentally, gentlemen, seriously, I mean, as far as the amount of space that I have, where we have to be able to get out of the driveway, get people into the carport, I would say, and it's a snowblower. When we get snow, it is a snowblower friendly spot. That's that will work.
Mike,
I don't need to be plowed.
You mustn't feel bad.
No. You have lots of
because
driveway.
If that much snow came, we probably couldn't get here anyways. Because then we couldn't do a show. So
yeah, but eventually
you'll
get here.
Eventually,
right. And Mike has lots of driveway, and he has a lot of people parking here for during the show.
Right.
So it really is
a
show blower.
Yes. So that is why
entertains.
That's why I considered this to be an essential show expense.
It's the show blower.
That's right.
Thank you. Okay.
Well done.
Mike Pans to camera.
So anyway, I have a letter.
Does he use gasoline?
A letter.
What is that package between
your
legs?
Do you need a few bucks for fuel?
You've got a lot of letters.
This Rob brought this from his house today.
Okay,
I don't
know
what this is.
Something new.
It's a box.
Get for it.
Let's see here. Hi, Mike. Long time listener, first time. Oh, F it. I know how much, and he uses the whole word, which I like. I know how much you hate those intros. I started listening to the Don and Mike show something like 14 years ago by accident. Being new here, I was driving and channel surfing for something worth listening to. I don't know why I remember this so clearly, but I found this interview with Steve Irwin. Irwin, and my ears perked up.
I'm guessing interview in quotation marks.
Around the time I was having a blast with my young nephew, where both of us would do awful Aussie accents trying to sound like the crocodile hunter, uh-huh. and we crack each other up. I got excited to hear the real croc hunter on the radio, but the more I listened, the stranger the interview got. It sounded like Steve, but the dialogue sounded more like a comedy bit than what you'd expect him to say. Uh-huh. It must have been 5 minutes or more before I realized what was going on. I'm slow, but I knew I had stumbled upon my new favorite show. Over time, I came to enjoy all your great impressions, but the Croc Hunter was my first and still my favorite, right up there with your Baltimore accent. Anyway, I was hooked and have been listening faithfully ever since.
Oh, how nice.
I didn't know what to do with myself when WJFK switched to the all bad sports shows
neither,
all the time
neither
format.
Neither did we.
And then came
they had
your,
an idea for us.
And then came your podcast, mm-hmm. and it's even better than the radio show. As a refugee from the corporate world in Silicon Valley, ooh, I know what you guys went through. I've been there myself. I moved to this area to be closer to my family and to work for myself so I'd never be in a position to get laid off again. Mm. As an engineer and a tinker slash inventor, I've been lucky enough to make a living with my ideas. Well, that's good stuff. I love that kind of story. One of my ideas I got while traveling from work turned into a product and then a small luggage company that I run now from my home office. I love stories
awesome.
Like this
mm-hmm.
In the recession when
people striking out on their own.
Reinventing
I love
themselves.
The word luggage. Because it's technically something you lug.
We just introduced a new version of our roll-up garment bag designed just for motorcycles.
Hey.
And since you ride, I wanted to give you one as a gift.
Ah.
It's my small way of saying thank you for many years of great entertainment. I've been running Skyroll mostly alone for about 10 years, and sometimes the isolation can be overwhelming.
Sure.
Your show has kept me sane, and I don't know what I'd do without you. Please keep doing the podcast for the next 50 years. Best regard, Don Chernoff. And Don sends,
cool.
I guess, the Skyroll,
yeah,
which is
terrific. Cool. Yeah.
So there's a prospective advertiser,
I've
Mr.
already
Roddy.
Been talking to him.
Oh, good, good. Yep. That's good. I'd whip it out, but it's kind of bulky, but it looks
hey,
on the very,
nice.
Very cool.
Smart
bulky.
Idea.
Hey, bulky.
Truly a smart idea.
Yeah.
We can put that on the snowblower.
So when you wear your, you know. And there you have it.
You know what?
Just what you think.
Look, man.
Just what you think.
And I don't expect a statute of limitations on it either. I expect it to be referenced continuously. Yeah, I know.
At least a week.
You know, Daddy knows he's kind of doing wrong. Anyway, so that
we'll all
it.
Benefit from it.
That's right. Someday.
Update on the hoodies. What's the latest with the hoodies?
I'm expecting them to be delivered at any moment.
So am I.
Could happen during the show.
What does that mean? What?
I mean, we've been expecting for some time now.
Yeah.
He's piling on is what he's doing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Do you want to continue? Or
no, I think it's fine.
Where's my music?
All right.
We're having a little trouble with the music today.
I said this on the edge this morning, and I'm just going to share this with you guys. Because this is, I've talked many times about the fat guy moments that you have.
Yes.
And the fat guy moment traditionally at a restaurant, and Rob, I'm sure you've been on the receiving end of this. You're sitting at a
Why
table.
Why would you say that?
Yeah, see, you've just done what you're about to describe.
Right, exactly.
You presumed.
Yeah. Well, Rob and I are fat guys, so we
oh,
can.
Yeah.
So
and
is
have
RJ.
Been for some time.
RJ, I think I might have had a dream about your fatness over
oh,
the weekend.
Well.
That I was worried about it. I was
epidemic.
Worried about it. So get you have to start losing weight, because I had a weird dream about you. You know,
because he cares.
What's
because he cares.
Well, I did. Yeah, it was just a you
pick
were,
me up Mondays.
It was
huh?
it was the knees. It was
oh,
the knees.
Well, it was the other day when I was here. We talked about
yes,
that because I had a hard
your
time
knees.
Getting up.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, absolutely. Yeah, but yeah.
That's why he gave up Catholicism.
So
what?
This is the moment usually, and it's the dessert, and it's also you can be at a party.
Were you out? Or were you home?
I was.
Happened?
I was at a restaurant.
Okay,
at a restaurant at Carla's friend's 30th birthday party.
Cool.
And this is what you usually get when you're a fat person. And I can only do this for the Ustreamers, but imagine the eyes turn to me when this is said. They'll come over with a dessert menu or a dessert tray,
uh-huh.
and the question is, so who would like some dessert? And where do the eyes go?
Oh, no.
Directly to me.
It's usually, and you know, if I can just, I can jump
directly
in here.
Directly to me, the fat guy, you know.
Does
usually,
it upset you?
Oh, it kills me. It makes me laugh because
okay.
it's funny.
The server will come over and they'll usually do like a sweep of the table, uh-huh. but their
right.
eyes land on you
exactly.
on the syllable zert.
Zert.
Who would like dessert?
So
the,
Oscar,
and they lock
yes.
in.
You're me, okay?
Yes.
This is our table of
yes.
a big table we're yes. having like this. So it's okay. Who would like dessert?
Oh, no.
And it stays, the eyes stay locked.
Right. It's been happening to me ever since I've been a fat guy.
Almost used to it.
I actually welcome it because it's such a routine. Mm-hmm. It can happen also at a dinner at somebody's home,
okay.
You know, whether it's Thanksgiving. Well, I know somebody would like some apple pie.
Or who wants the last piece?
Yeah, who would want that? I never in my wildest days thought that it would be trumped. I didn't think it was possible. I didn't think it could happen.
You mean it's been one-upped?
It's been one-upped to the extent where after this was said, I said out loud at the table, I said, you have just made both of my shows on Monday.
Oh, wow.
Because this is what happened.
This is
literally how rude it was. Uh-huh. Not rude in a bad way, but
unintentionally.
Unintentionally, but thoughtless.
Yeah.
She is coming over with the second round of rolls, and she's going from person to person. Would you like an extra roll? Would you like an extra roll? Gets to me and says, and I quote, well, I know you want an extra roll.
Wow.
Oh!
Oh,
no.
Wow.
Suck a D.
Yeah, exactly.
I was sitting, and it was just, it was matter of fact the way she said this.
Presumed.
Wow. Yes, RJ.
Did you eat it?
No, I did not eat the roll until right at the end.
So later.
I sopped up some of my crawfish stuff with the roll.
It's painful, yet I think those are moments like that that would want you to take a life change, make a turn, maybe start exercising more. No? Nothing? Oh, okay.
F*** you, Oscar.
Oh, I'm just saying.
No. Yeah, yes, I suppose. Yeah, but you didn't have to say that.
I mean,
that's just rude as saying the roll.
No, here, let me offer this as a disinterested observer.
Maybe it's time, said the man with the 12-inch waist. Maybe it's time for a little. Maybe it's time for a little life change.
As someone who is a disinterested observer and has the same collar size as he has a waist size, I will say this, Oscar. We as a group of people, Mike and I, do not need incidences or even reminders that we should change our lifestyle. All we need to do is rise from our bed in the morning and know how we feel. All we need to do.
It's there.
It's there. Okay. It's constant.
Right.
It's really.
It's an awareness. None of the crap that I get is so overwhelming that, here's the theory I have.
It was funny.
I battle it all the time.
Or was it embarrassing to you?
Well, it was funny.
Okay, it's funny. It's funny.
But you know what?
But at the same time, no, but there is that desire. There is that desire. And it has become indelibly clear to me that that I know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I know what it involves. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, and the issue is, without devoting your every single waking hour that you're not working to it, it's a very lengthy time.
Oscar,
that's what pisses me off.
Oscar, let me explain.
I would
something.
Really serious. I think that Robin and RJ probably felt the same way when that Biggest Loser opportunity came about.
Mm-hmm.
That would be just to have really, if somebody threw that to me,
where
they're
going to
give me a month
months?
And a half,
yeah.
or even 6 months,
so
even if it was like 2 months, mm-hmm. I said 2 months, and that's all you're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think any of the three of us would jump. Yeah.
Oscar, let me put it to you this
that
way: let's say,
Are
you familiar with the tool vice grip pliers?
Yes. I know
okay. That. What if someone took vice grips, not the big ones, but a medium sized pair of vice grips, and clipped it to your earlobe and let it hang there? Okay.
Yeah.
You would always know it's there, and there are times that you would say, "Yeah, you know what? I can deal with it," mm-hmm. but you'd always know it's there, and it's always a pain in the ass, and you're always thinking about it. That's what it's like to be fat.
I would think that if I had that hanging from my ear, that I would do everything I could to get it off.
You can't because it's glued.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm sorry, the analogy wasn't too well thought.
Calm down and drink your
gravy. My issue now, and my disaster is the weekends. That is exclusively
my
domain.
Fall off the wagon.
When you are done with this show,
right.
I see you go in and you have a healthy meal.
I count my points every,
I see you do it.
Every Monday through Friday. Yeah.
Does
do
it begin Friday
and
night or Saturday morning?
You know what? Here's the thing. It
for
began,
me, it's Friday night.
It began Saturday night, and it was a different deal. It was much different. In fact, probably 2 to 3 pounds different.
Wow. Oh.
If it begins Friday night, you're screwed. If it begins Saturday night, you're net ahead. That's the way I look at it.
Okay, great.
And if it was one meal, it would be net even further ahead.
Because I
so
do
you
know
think
this,
of those,
and I'm
I've
sure you
actually
do too.
Gotten it down to that amount of time.
When you do diet and when you do play by the rules, you do build up some momentum. and it takes a little while to totally derail.
Right.
You need a couple days to really screw things up.
You need a Christmas week, for example.
Exactly.
Oh, if you throw it out the window.
Holidays are the
worst. I think everybody might be the same. But metabolically, some people just don't. I know, like Daryl Nichols, our old engineer. Mm-hmm. Daryl didn't gain weight.
Right.
Daryl couldn't gain weight if he tried to.
And also, engineers didn't eat at all. And look at them.
And I think there are other people that. I think it's just my opinion. I think that if you want to take it off, everybody probably does the same thing to take it off, and it works the same way. It's gaining it back that I think certain people are a little predisposed to. Mm-hmm. It just flies on. It's incredible.
And every time you have to re-lose it, it gets harder to do.
Yep, absolutely. But with that said, no, you think about that, but it is funny the way. But thanks for bringing that up, Oscar.
I wasn't trying to be a dick.
Ruined my mood.
I'm just saying.
No. Swear to God. Especially when skinny people say
that. I thought your feelings
that.
Were hurt.
You know what? Here's the thing. I could say, well, because you're just skinny. No, he's not. I know that he's been heavier and he's been lighter.
My ass.
And you work out very hard.
Yes, right. It sucks.
But you're such a petite man that busting your ass is not like busting my ass. Seriously, with that said, as far as the exercise thing, you want to, you go watch that Biggest Loser and you watch those people when they start. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, they put that weight on. They did it. But you know what? I mean, that is, I feel that when I've looked in on that show at the very beginning, when they bring those 450-pound people in there and they get them on a machine, and I look and I'm like, I can't even imagine how hard that must be.
Did you see the promo for this week's episode?
No, I didn't know.
It's like a 15-second bullet promo. And the guy starts laughing. He's like, well, he's like, I busted another treadmill.
That's pretty tough.
Go ahead.
I just want to clarify that I thought you were embarrassed. I didn't think you thought it was funny.
If I was embarrassed, I wouldn't have spotlighted it. If I was embarrassed, I wouldn't have yelled it at the table. I said, you're going to be on the radio. If anything, she was embarrassed. And then I walked over and said, I was just busting your chops. I said, really? I was just kidding about that, bitch. Anyway,
and then she looked back. She said, hey, nice snowblower.
We'll be back after this. Welcome back to MikeOMaraShow.com, and I can safely say I certainly never hear much of this man on the radio station I work at.
Oh, really?
Hello, Axel. Anyway, our second segment
tests very well, Mike.
Brought to you by Jimmy's Old Town Tavern.
Yeah.
Folks, big Super Bowl bash coming up. Jimmy's annual Super Bowl bash, happy hour drink prices from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. with a Sunday brunch from 11 to 2, 50-cent wings all day, even for carryout. Now, there's something. Jimmy won't mind me saying
crazy
this.
Crazy bargain.
You know, those wings.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I get them every time
we go. Those wings for me, those wings really, I would say about a pound per five wings. Mm-hmm. That's how much weight I would gain. Yes.
No, that's how much meat's on them.
That's just an amazing. That's an amazing.
They're very meaty.
I think
wings.
He's got the best wings in the area.
Want more wings?
More wings, anybody? And it's a free football pool. This is a lot of fun, too. For the first 100 fans that get there, a free football pool with prizes after every quarter. It is the best Super Bowl party.
There's a lot going on at this party.
We'll be there at 4. The guys will be there at 4. Mm-hmm. I'm doing an edge party in another part of the world. They are not advertising on this podcast, so you won't hear where that is. We'll be there at 4. That's all the guys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to get there for the second half if I can for Jimmy's Jeopardy and then to watch the game on the big screen, high-definition television. Mm-hmm. Reservations are recommended. Call 703-435-JIMS. What did I just hear? Oh, somebody's phone. Yeah. Or click the banner on our website. Jimmy knows that it's you guys, right?
Yeah, he does.
Okay,
because
he just was calling
me about it.
And you may want to put on some copper tone with a high SPF factor because Carrie's going to be there with her sunny disposition.
It should be a good time had by all as the Super Bowl kicks off at 6:18 or 6:30 or whatever it is. Anyway, it's not going to be, it's a work day the following day for all of us.
Yeah.
So it will not be quite as insane as it was because that Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, it was.
Roll tape at 4 o'clock.
We'll see. We'll see
what happened the day after that.
Do you remember last year we recorded the show and we said we're going to record a show on a DAT player from Jimmy's and it was one of the worst broadcasts that I've ever
We didn't really plan it. It was sort of a last minute thing
Necessarily even the lack of planning as much as the audio quality.
That too.
Because the entire
the entire thing was like,
and it was so painful for me. And that's when I issued the edict, you know, that we have to be at least. When we have to be in a controlled environment, which means a studio, right. If we're going to do that kind of show.
A trifle noisy there.
It was a tad noisy.
It was.
And then, of course, everybody, you know, at the end of the day, Jimmy wanted to be on the microphone. Everybody wanted,
what?
You know. Yeah, at the beginning of something like that, and the way it normally works, nobody wants to be near a microphone.
Right, right.
And then once
the
alcohol,
more you drink,
everyone wants to be on the radio.
it was really shocking because Jimmy.
No, a great time.
Jimmy it was a phenomenal
shy.
Time. Yes.
Jimmy is a shy fella, and I think we were all surprised. Mr. Cerrito.
We had a meeting for the show on Friday, and it was fascinating. I realized that this is now not a dictatorship, that this is really a Politburo. This is a communist when I said, hey, somebody ought to write something down. And everybody at the meeting looked right, looked left, and then the meeting just continued.
Nobody wrote anything down.
That's not true. Well, he had his... No, that is true, because he had a little electronic thing.
And he wrote things down.
I'll show you the notes.
He'll show you the notes.
Okay. Yeah, I actually recorded. Right, I'll show you the notes.
So here's the first note.
Jesus,
I think the whole premise
of my bit. You just sit over there and cherry pick. I wish I was you, Lung Boy.
I'm here to bring the truth.
I understand what you're saying. I don't trust that.
I don't either.
I want to see pen. I want to see paper.
Notes. Let me see. Let me see. Hey, Buzz.
Yeah.
There's the elaborate notes.
I see.
Boy.
Three items.
I see one, two, three, four words.
A shorehand, and I'll tell you exactly what they
words.
Mean.
Words. That doesn't matter. That's not writing down everything. That's four words.
Why would I have to write down everything when he has a PowerPoint presentation that puts everything together?
Sometimes it takes less time than watching a 7-hour presentation.
I just thought.
Wow.
Excuse me.
Wow.
Oh, the truth comes
out. Just thought it was good. Everyone's just gonna, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all you wrote down.
That's all I need. That's what I do for all my notes.
The rest of it's right up here. We all have it in our brains.
Yeah, you know what? If you're going to accept being right after that, four words.
I want to tell people what the four words were.
Okay, what were the four?
It was Fat Mike Lifestyle Change.
Oh, no.
That's exactly what it was.
And he can reconstruct
the meeting. After the meeting, Mike, I wrote down a bunch of stuff. I've got a project list ready to go.
Okay, because we really had a wonderful meeting. We got some very, very exciting new things. That'll be coming up in 2011 for the show. And Mark did an absolutely amazing job.
No, thanks.
We're going to stay in business, laying things out.
My favorite moment in the meeting is when we reached the end and we realized everything went well. And Mike said, that was really good. Get out.
Yeah.
I was for you to go.
I was just tapped.
We had a long day.
I saw that. About when we were about 3/4 of the way done, I was looking at you a few times and your eyes were starting to glaze.
Yeah. It's the same. It's almost a visual interpretation of what he does on a phone call. You know, within the phone call, when he gets short, okay, you can hear. And then now you're like, well, he's obviously done with this conversation.
All this because I stole a snowblower from him. Yeah. you can tell that on the phone?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Mike, if my house was on fire and I had to call you for help, I would first determine whether or not I really needed your help. Because you know what? I don't like to disturb you because you are on the phone. You are curt. You are not unpleasant.
Right.
Subsequently, you would keep the call short.
Yeah.
I really do hate it.
I know.
No, yeah. You should.
I hate it as a form of communication.
I do believe
that's why, you know, I normally do it like if I really initiate it, like really talking, it's usually I have to be in almost a state of euphoria or I have to be assisted with a little alcohol.
A little.
Maybe a lot.
I would say, though, what's interesting about it is while you don't like talking on the phone, you hate not calling you.
Right.
Like you get mad
when
we don't call you.
Right.
Yeah, I like to know what's going on.
Just keep it
short.
That's the key.
What form of communication do you prefer?
I love texting.
Yes.
Love texting.
Okay.
While he drives. Only.
You never answer. But you never answer my texts.
I don't get texts from you.
Well, he doesn't answer. You don't answer a lot of texts unless you absolutely have to.
Right. That must be it.
Yeah.
I can tell you the longest.
RJ, do I have the kick me sign on my back today?
No, I don't really think it's a kick me thing.
When do you ever communicate with me?
A number outside. Of times I've kind of stopped recently because the last several times I've texted you, I got no reply at all.
What was the last text that you could remember that you texted?
Right, let me check. I don't remember.
All right. Okay. Text because I'd like to know.
Let's see if you're still in
here. Because I'll explain why I didn't respond.
I may have deleted you.
Okay. All right.
I'll check. It's going to be way down
there. And when I call
here.
You, I absolutely need to call you. Like,
what do you mean it's
going to
be way down there? Like down on your list? On your priority list? Is that what that's supposed to mean?
No, the most recent text conversations are at the top.
All right. Find it. Find it.
I'm working on
it. Just take a look, find it, Imus.
The last time I called you,
All right.
The last time I called you was when I wanted to know if you had a Super Bowl party or not.
You mean like for the show?
For if you had a Super Bowl party planned for the morning, your morning show.
Oh, yeah,
did.
Yeah.
Because we had, because I was talking to Mark trying to figure out what I did.
In
so I only
months,
call you if I absolutely need information from you.
The 18 months that we've been sort of together doing stuff, the longest phone call we had was definitely wine-fueled, and I can tell you exactly what it was.
What was it?
It was like 6:30 at night.
Yeah.
Rob, hey Mike, what's up? Have you ever heard Brian Setzer live do the houses rocking? I said,
well, that was very, very important for the show.
It was.
It was changing the closing music for the show.
You said, go get it now.
And I was calling for your approval.
You said, I'm going to wait on the phone while you get it.
two weeks. I've cleared the conversation.
What, 2 weeks ago?
The last time that I tried texting you was January 14th, but I've cleared the conversation, so I don't know what I texted.
All right, what was it?
This happened once before.
But you like emails? I feel like you email. Well.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember that. Oh, I remember your text. Yes, it wasn't that important.
I feel like you email very well.
I like texting. I don't like a physical. You remember what it was now?
Yeah, I think it was related to that soon to be popular cartoon show on television.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It was about that.
See, that I balk you out a little
bit.
Yeah,
I understand.
You know why, right?
Yeah, but you're going to be happy.
Okay. Yeah. You mean that's new? New news? I'm going to be happy?
Yeah. I'll just
good
give
news,
you,
I'll
just
Mike.
Give, then, hold on. This is like, Buzz can't say anything on the podcast.
I can't really say much at all, except that all I'll say, and you'll understand the code here, we had the other guy killed.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, good,
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's the last man standing, huh?
Yes.
Oh, good, okay.
That's really great when you talk about murder. You do want to get rid of the details.
Yeah. That's our code.
Just speaking of failed.
Well, that is good. That is good. So anyway.
We didn't take notes.
Okay, we didn't take notes, but it was a wonderful
very
presentation.
Positive.
And the long and short of this is that Mark Ronick, who joined our merry band a little bit when we were into it, but almost at the beginning of this.
Oh, yeah,
and
January.
Really, really transformed this podcast into a viable machine and has great ideas and keeps track of things and runs our business operations and works very hard doing that. And Mark, I don't say it enough publicly, but really, I don't think that this thing continues past March or April of last year without your participation and coming up with some very good ideas.
Wow. Well,
and we are very, very grateful for that.
And Mark, now, counterpoint.
Know. Yes. Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
All right, go ahead. Time for a little listener mailbag because I didn't get to it last week.
Oh, it's
when
so piling
I said I was
going
to do it.
There's
it's piling up.
Birthday on your left and the rest of the mail on your right.
Okay, here we go. This comes from Margaret. Mm-hmm. And Margaret writes, "Hi, guys. I was hoping you could give a birthday shout out to my husband, Daryl. He turns 30-something on Saturday." He did. Mm-hmm. Saturday, January 29th.
Right.
"We're both super fans of the show, and honestly, it plays way too big a role in our marriage. Have you listened to Mike today is a frequently asked question in our house because so many of our conversations are about topics from the show. We usually listen to the show apart, but when we heard about Oscar's Halloween incident, we sat down and listened to it together, often pausing the podcast to discuss the pros and cons of Oscar's tactics. That was probably the most serious relationship discussion we've had the entire time we've been married."
Wow. That's good.
Wow. "Anyway, if you could sing him happy birthday, I'd really appreciate it. Thanks for always giving us something to talk about. Margaret, P.S. Tell Rob I love him." And this is for Daryl. Daryl, it's your birthday today.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you, Daryl.
Daryl. There we go. Happy birthday.
And why is Peggy short for Margaret?
I have no idea.
I always wanted that as well.
I hate that.
Margaret. Margaret, a strong woman's name.
Margaret.
Next little letter comes from Chris Cutler. Subject, thanks. "Thanks for everyone's great work on the TMOS podcast. Only thing preventing me from going on a spree killing or taking a swan dive off a building during last night's 8-hour commute from Tyson's." That must have been in the middle of that snow.
Last week's snowstorm.
The letter's from April.
"The only thing was catching up on your podcast. Oh, yeah. I believe that it must be my faith that it also coincided with Yodeling Week. That, my friend, was my saving grace. There you go, Rob.
Nothing your idea, Mike.
Thanks, Rob. Nothing like having cabin fever in your car and yodeling for a few hours to keep you sane.
That's nice.
That's very nice. Next one comes from Gain Foster. That's an interesting name.
Uh-huh.
It was very nice of you to take a minute out of your lunch to say hi to me at what Oscar and RJ call Cinco Hombres. You know, what is Cinco Hombres?
Five guys.
Five guys.
Five guys. Okay.
Wow, were you at Five Guys?
I wasn't at Five Guys.
No, but Mark and I
the
and RJ were.
Oh, you guys were.
Yeah, so
okay.
And we said hi.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I've been a big fan of the show since I moved to... I'm not egocentric. I've been a big fan of the show since I moved to the D.C. area about 7 years ago. Yesterday, I was able to listen to the three latest Raw shows. Wednesday's show, and while waiting to get my car pulled from the ditch creek, I went back to the archives and listened to a show from July.
Hey, Mike, I got my car in the ditch creek.
When it was 108 degrees.
Can I borrow your tow chain? I got my car stuck in a ditch creek.
I think it was ditch / creek.
I don't know, one but the axles all bent up because it went all the way into that ditch creek.
It was ditch / creek. How does that change the reading of it?
Well, you'd say ditch / creek.
You would not say ditch / creek.
I would, actually.
You would really say
I would.
Ditch / creek.
I think would say call down to the service station and get a tow chain because my car is in the goddamn ditch creek / creek.
Of course, that's funnier.
Get my car pulled from the ditch / creek.
Ditch creek.
I went back to the archives to listen to a show from June, July, when it was 108 degrees. Mm. This all took place between Deviltown and... F-berg, Fredericksburg.
It really
or,
was hot.
As Buzz would say, F/berg.
It was really hot, but it didn't help that ditch.
I didn't think I'd get an example that quickly that I'd be able to counterpoint it. I just wanted to thank you for y'all making a 5-plus-hour, 48-mile commute tolerable.
Thank you.
You are a bunch of funny bastards. Well,
thank you, friend.
I agree with one part of that. Anyway,
don't take a shortcut through the ditch creek.
Dan writes to us, hello to all. You rarely read any letters from the supposed listeners in the 145 countries. As a former Virginian who now lives in East Africa,
wow,
I can claim to have listened to your show in at least 5 countries in Africa, plus Zanzibar, and a few European countries in my travels back and forth to the U.S. I enjoy Mike's talents and have for many, many years. Here in Malawi, look it up. It takes hours to download each episode, but it's worth it. Wow. Yeah, you know, I always wonder about that in other countries where the download speed is slow.
The dial-up's a bitch.
God, it's really slow in Egypt.
You provide me with interesting takes on what is happening now in American society, though I am lost during your discussions on current television shows. Mm-hmm. With television here, I could wax poetic on reruns of Frasier. Wow.
Yeah.
And The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Unbelievable.
Wow. I have sent messages before, but they were never acknowledged. What are you playing now?
Zanzibar.
God.
who knew that?
I didn't.
No one?
I didn't know when he started.
Every time I play a medium charting Billy Joel record, America smiles.
This is Zanzibar?
Zanzibar.
All right. I have sent messages before, but they were never acknowledged, except I may have been the one who taught Oscar how to spell misogynist.
Nice.
Keep up the good work. I enjoy the camaraderie you have. That is what makes this show special. Mm-hmm. And that's Dan in Lilongwe. Lilongwe, Lilongwe. I hope I've got that correct.
Close,
look it up.
Close to Zanzibar.
Look it up.
Dan wrote a strong-worded email to me once I went through that domestic dispute with Kara. Dan, eat a dick.
Not a fan of Dan.
Okay.
Very good.
Well, I sat there, and I think I might have mentioned it in passing. If I'm correct, if I'm wrong, I'll take it back. But it's like I was getting so much hate mail that I came around this guy, and he called me misogynist when I sat there and I said, I don't even know how to spell that.
Right,
who takes the time to figure that out?
Sure.
Like, who does that? This guy must be really pissed.
All the shows that I've been associated with have had a good, healthy helping of misogyny.
And I sat there and I said, I'm going to write back to this guy and say, really? Really? I don't even know how to spell this. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
But as I was writing back to him, I said, I never write back to these guys. And he caught me on a bad day. I just didn't. But that's the man right
that's
there.
The
Thank
man.
You for listening, friend. Though there I appreciate it.
Let's fly to Africa and beat his ass.
Our last, our last one for today. And Buzz, these will all keep.
Yes, of course they will.
Our last one for today comes to all of us. Hi, Mike, Buzz, Rob, Oscar, RJ, and Mark. Mm-hmm. Like so many that have written before me, I was a huge fan of the D&M show back in the 20th century. It wasn't until I went looking for archived programs of the show that I found the latest Mike O'Mara incarnation. Uh-huh. And I gotta tell ya, I'm damn glad I did. My wife and I listen to you at home, in the car, the tent, on the bank of trout streams, and even when shopping at Walmart. I get so cranked up about what you go on about that I even have a loner MP3 player loaded with about a dozen shows. I love to hear this.
Isn't awesome. Great?
I hand it out to friends to get them hooked.
Brilliant.
Like giving a kid. Okay, I won't finish that thought. I just know that your show is such an easy habit to form.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, about the subject line. In the subject line, well, I didn't see that. I'm writing to you from rural Laos.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow. Where it is where it is warm and sunny today.
Nice.
We're hanging out among the friendliest people and eating the best food imaginable. I bet, man. I bet that's great over there. As we wait for our shipping container of worldly goods to transit the Pacific from Colorado to our new home in New Zealand.
Wow.
It can be a slight challenge to find an internet cafe, but know that we refresh our playlist whenever and wherever we can. Mind-boggling.
Worldwide.
The people are over there doing this and thinking about us over there.
Laos is far away from New Zealand. They need a new travel agent. That's not the most direct flight.
Once in New Zealand, it will be no problem, and once again, I will be offering up the loner player to all my new Kiwi friends.
Brilliant.
My best wishes to all of you for continued and exponential success. And we thank Jeff Weiniger, and he's going to New Zealand.
Foreign countries heard from.
Thank you, friend.
Good stuff. That is it. That's a look at our mailbag, and we'll check in. Keep the letters coming. I'm going to make sure that I do this a couple of times a week until we whittle this one down.
We'll catch up.
We'll do this again on Thursday, and please send your letters along. We'd love to read them on the show.
Right.
And also your birthday requests. It's interactive. We enjoy that with you, and we also don't say this enough on the show, but one of the things we don't remind you about is if you do love the show, we rely on you all to be ambassadors of this podcast.
That's right.
And I think the goal in 2011, we'd love this to be the case, is that every individual that likes this show and listens to this show, go grab us 10 more.
Yeah.
Get us 10 more listeners so we can increase the downloads and increase the advertising and increase everything else we do on the show.
Right.
So if you love the show and you want to share it, please go out and tell everybody about it. Be our ambassador for the show. We would appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We'll take a break and come back with the Audio Vault right after this.
That was long before I met you. Now I'm sure that I won't forget you. And I thank my lucky star.
Welcome back to MikeO'MaraShow.com. We appreciate you listening. Thanks for all the good stuff that was in the mailbag.
Yeah.
Our third segment with Rob's Magic Audio Vault is brought to you by Pro Flowers. Valentine's Day coming right around the corner. Make the best investment of your life for as little as $19.99, and that includes a free glacé vase. Other specials include free chocolates or free delivery. Send flowers from ProFlowers.com. Click the link at MikeO'MaraShow.com for Pro Flowers. And now let's open up the audio ball, see what we've got in there today, Rob.
A sad weekend, Mike, as we lost the two people that set the template of your career.
Oh, God, I can only imagine.
Charlie Callis.
We lost Charlie Callis.
We lost Charlie Callis, which is a tremendous shock for all those who thought he was already dead.
Charlie Callis, most famously Igor.
Yeah, I think so.
Igor in Young Frankenstein.
Right.
I think
That's
Marty Feldman. I always got those guys.
More of like a Vegas guy that blah 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 blah. And not the only thing I know about Charlie Callis is for some reason Jerry Lewis thinks he's a riot.
All right, I always got Charlie Callis and Marty Feldman confused.
Now this is something that I don't think anyone else would prepare for you, Mike, is a David Fry montage. We lost impressionist David Fry, age 77.
All right, I'm going to stop you before you play this. And I was doing this type of thing when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
But my memories of going to see this guy with my dad, and at the time it was when the Nixon presidency was there.
David Fry, big impression.
David Fry was the definitive Richard Nixon impersonator, mm-hmm. really the one that and was known as the good one. Rich
physical.
Little got more press, but David Fry was really
when Fry accurate, would do yeah. it on Sullivan, it was almost creepy because he was real physical when he did it.
It was hysterical.
Too similar.
This
yeah.
is amazing because there's not a lot of David Fry on YouTube, so I actually had what? To go to an LP.
Really?
And it's an LP called The First Family 1968, okay. and the premise of the LP is that Cary Grant is elected president, and all the politicians are pissed because Hollywood is taking over Washington.
And it really was an amazing Richard Nixon impression.
In this, David Fry does every voice you're going to hear in this montage I put together, save the first LBJ because I needed it for the setup of the joke.
Okay.
And one announcement.
Okay.
Every other voice is David Fry. I know some of the voices are old school, but I think you'll like this.
A little history lesson for old impressionists.
Save home David Fry.
Thank you, Mr. President, and forgive me for being late, but traffic was heavy from the airport. And I had a lot of trouble getting to the White House.
Dick, you've always had a lot of trouble getting to the White House.
That was his Nixon.
Well, Mr. President, the election is over. And I'm sorry we lost. I guess this has been a pretty disappointing day for you and your birds.
Mr. James Mason.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. Oh, by the way, have you seen my son?
Gentlemen, I believe the roll call is in order. Bobby Kennedy?
Yes, I'm here.
Mr. Nixon?
Here.
Mr. Buckley?
That's William Buckley Jr. of Yale. And I'm here. We're having a party tonight.
This is his LBJ, and then I believe he follows this up with Richard Burton and Kirk Douglas.
Okay. Lee Bird and Lucy Bird and Pat and Linda Bird and what's his name, the actor.
Excellent. It's been a very romantic weekend.
Kirk Douglas.
And here we are alone together. Just the 12 of us.
Elizabeth, my darling, you are more beautiful every day. You are the fragrance of the morning dew on the petals of an unpicked rose.
Gentlemen, here is Senator Gregory Peck.
This one, he could have made a career on Peck alone. His Gregory Peck is phenomenal.
Okay, listen to him.
Gentlemen, thank you for your undivided attention. I have just had the honor I've been elected by you as your Senate Majority Leader.
That's great.
Anyway, so that is a safe home, nice. David Fry.
Good stuff, Rob. That was fun. That's a little history.
I knew he's your favorite.
Impressionist, absolutely. You can tell if anybody ever, the old days when I used to do William F. Buckley, that was a total ripoff of this guy. You know, in fact, a lot of my stuff was a total ripoff of this guy.
I have a really hard time. I was all over the internet. I'm not sure what happened to Charlie Sheen this weekend.
Actor Charlie Sheen is back in rehab.
Actor Charlie Sheen checked into rehab.
Rehab for Charlie Sheen.
The troubled 2.5 Men star has checked into an undisclosed rehab facility.
TV's highest paid actor is back in rehab.
Charlie Sheen in rehab.
Did you hear any of porn star Casey Jordan?
I didn't get a chance.
No,
like
you
this.
Will be blown away.
Really?
Yes. Here is,
baby talker?
No, better. Just here details. She is. First of all, she was one of the porn stars partying with Sheen.
Oh, let's listen.
Yes.
You know, it takes a health toll when you live like Charlie Sheen on things like your teeth.
You know, his gold teeth, you know, all his teeth have fallen out from partying and whatnot. So he kept saying, like,
whatnot.
Porcelain teeth, they're, you got to get gold teeth. And most of his teeth were gold, but he wouldn't say why. But we all know probably because they've fallen out from the drug use.
Classic.
So she says he has lots of fake teeth around the house because his real ones have fallen out from drug use.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Also, know this.
That's just shocking.
Yeah,
really.
It is.
You
it's
know, we don't
didn't
think
expect
of
that.
I don't think anybody really realizes just how addled he really is.
Apparently, they did some Charlie Sheen math and said, see how much money he's actually spent in the past like 6 months on what he's been through.
Yeah, I heard that $500,000. Right.
And what he's been
in
doing.
In a month.
What he's been doing. I'm sorry, within a month. What he's been doing with these ladies, these adult film stars, uh-huh. is buying their time one way, but also buying them gifts like Bentleys, buying them beautiful, expensive,
crazy.
Like these are out of these world cars, because it's like he's acting because he can. He makes $44 million a season.
He has all this money.
Like, he's got all this money.
He was last, as recently as last week, trying to set up a house a few doors down from where he lives, and he was going to put 3 to 5 porn stars in it and sort of, you know,
just come
funny,
go
funny you
them.
Should bring that up because this lady, Casey Jordan, talks
same
about
one, yeah.
his retirement plan. He has plans for retirement, mm-hmm. Mike.
This was the whole plan. I was supposed to get, well, he already got apparently another girl.
Oh, forgive me. That's her talking about the cocaine. So many tapes.
Okay.
Here's the
so many vices.
Plan.
All right. Well,
this was the whole plan. I was supposed to get. Well, he already got apparently another girl, Bentley, uh-huh. and he's like, "Well, what do you want?" Because he's like, "I'm gonna retire." You know, he's like, "I'm just gonna go crazy. We're gonna get this house. It's like a $20 million house, like 27 rooms." And we're trying to, like, you're like the missing puzzle piece. We don't have a blonde, and you're my blonde. Are you in? Are you not in? Are you not? And I'm like, of course I'm gonna be in. This is the whole plan.
That's it. Can you be, she gets to be the blonde, Mike.
And let me hear about the cocaine here, because it says Casey talks about the blow that that Charlie does. One
moment. What's great?
Hey, kids, stay away from that stuff.
Hey, I pass on grass every
please
time.
Please do.
Me too.
I think this is the most detailed of the encounters that we've gotten so
this
far.
Is the whole plan. I was supposed to get...
No, no, that's
well,
the same
got
one.
Apparently another girl, Bentley, uh-huh. and he's like, well, what do you want? Because he's like, oh,
that's the same tape.
We don't have the use of our usual audio
this
equipment
is cut
today,
number.
So.
This is cut number 6.
Okay, let's see if the iPod...
Casey on the,
if it
on the show.
This is the whole plan. I was
no,
just
no, let me no, break it's the same goddamn thing.
Let me break it down for you, because I heard the tape. So basically, after Charlie...
What happened to the CDs today?
It didn't sound right for some reason. I think I might have an adjustment.
It's not the new player that we...
I don't think it is, because the music played fine. I might have to set up something on my computer.
Okay, we can't get another new machine.
No.
Snowblower.
I understand. But if I did, I would ask permission.
The budget's blown.
So Charlie Sheen basically is so hammered, he orders cocaine. He orders drugs.
Right. Suitcase full, a briefcase full, as we heard.
What I think, what she says it is, it looked like to be a Gucci bag full of cocaine.
I believe she used the word. It was classy.
It was a classy bag.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
So the guy comes over and he pulls out what she thought was about $20,000 in cocaine,
uh-huh.
which I guess she said would be 5 8-balls, huge 8-balls, uh-huh. the size of her fist. And I'm not a big coke user, so I don't even know what that looks
and
like.
She has huge hands.
But I sat there. She said that he sat there, and after he was done, instead of just doing lines, he put it in what looked like to be a bong contraption, and he was actually smoking it out of a bong.
Oh dear!
And then they went
smoking.
And then they went into his theater room and they watched porn for 2 hours, and that's when he got sick.
Wow,
but
that's
sad. But I don't even know you could smoke cocaine through a bong.
Well,
you know,
good thing is he's going to be better now because he's in rehab.
But yeah, exactly. It goes to show me that nothing has changed in the world of celebrity. No. If you are a high-powered celebrity and you are making money for whatever entity,
and
you will not get any help. No one will really intervene. You know, it doesn't sound like it's having like anyone's having any kind of intervention with this guy, and it's sad because he's going to end up, you know, feet first being taken out of his house one day. He really is.
I mm-hmm. think TMZ said 6 months of rehab they're expecting. 6 months.
Oh well, we'll
That's
see.
A lot.
We'll
a lot.
See. But I mean, I think really he's still revered for it. I mean, he's still champion for
I
you.
Think,
hey, Charlie! Yeah,
I think it's
going to
turn around this time. I think it's going to turn
around.
Yeah,
the
I
only,
do
thing,
too.
The
I
only
do too.
Thing, trust me, in my humble opinion, that will turn him around is if he loses his gig.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen. And the reason he has all this money, again, 2.5 Men, one of the highest, if not the highest, money-making show on television. And as long as that's the goose that lays the golden egg, they're going to prop up whatever they have to keep it going.
Did you hear about Joe Estevez?
No.
Joe Estevez is is Emilio's and Charlie's uncle.
Okay.
He's Martin's little brother.
Uncle Joe.
And his representation sent a letter to CBS saying that Joe is the funniest Estevez. And that if Charlie's going to be out of commission, how about a plot arc where he comes in?
Oh, nice guy.
A douchebag.
You know, that's the kind of family.
That's like Mommy Dearest.
That allows
when
that.
Joan Crawford went on the soap opera.
We were talking today about, you know, the fact that with Charlie Sheen out of commission again and going to rehab, this is wreaking havoc on the hundreds of people that are involved with that
TV
show.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And they're
suspended
saying they
again.
Might not have money for them this time around.
Wow.
With Charlie on the shelf. So we'll see what happens. Any one last take?
Yeah, one last, because my Facebook exploded last night when this happened. Wonderful, wonderful Pro Bowl last night. Just a real defensive battle. I love
Didn't
when they
see
play
any.
Like that. But David Akers gave me my favorite sound, Mike.
It does not work, Tom. And Alex Smith is one of those guys, or any quarterback in his situation. Jerk them in, jerk them out, mess with their mind. You mess them all up.
Coming up.
Oh,
I love it.
Oh, that
always
is great.
Love it.
That
Mike, that is your magic audio.
Hey. Thank you very much. That's it. When we come back, it's Buzz and News right after this. Hey, it's a 60s commercial with a blonde running down the beach. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Without further ado, let's get the man in here, Mr. Buzz Burbank.
Whatever happened to T-Berry gum, anyway?
T-Berry gum, that's right.
The news brought to you by DigitalTrends.com. At Valentine's Day, he loves gadgets. What do you get him? Go to DigitalTrends.com. That's the first step in making smarter tech purchases. And check out their new Amazon Kindle app. Click their ad on our website, DigitalTrends.com.
Yeah, somebody gets me a gadget for Valentine's Day. You know what I get?
What's that?
Two moons in the sky.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, never happened.
We were amazed to hear that last week's winter storm affected 55 million people. The one that begins today will affect 100 million people, a third of the U.S. population. It's being called the Groundhog Day Storm because it's expected to continue through Wednesday, February 2nd. The storm will stretch from the Rockies to the Appalachians and then up through the Ohio Valley and naturally up through the Northeast,
what
Pennsylvania.
What are you laughing at?
New York. Groundhog Day!
And
Groundhog
Day!
Chuck-chuckers!
This won't be quite a repeat of the last one, though. It could dump as much as 2 feet of snow in some places. Some Midwestern cities are expecting a foot to a foot and a half of snow. The Washington, D.C. area can expect mostly rain and freezing rain and lots of it. But it'll mean thunder, hail, and damaging winds for some, which means a lot of people will be without electricity again.
Are they still expecting? When's the last forecast that you checked before we taped this show?
Just before we drove here. So I'd say within the last hour or so.
I have it up here.
Let's get the very, very latest as we tape this show.
Right.
But I'm still hearing mostly rain out of this thing.
Yes, oh, very much so, especially
by Wednesday.
We're going
to be on the southern half of this here in D.C.
We're going to see some ice, and it's still going to get down into the 20s at night, so they're going to have to treat the roads so that we're not slipping and sliding all over the place.
Oh, the roads are so treated. I thought I was getting sleet on the way here. It's just salt being thrown.
A lot of salt. What do you have, Mark, for the very latest?
Today we have just scattered flurries, and then tonight we're going to get the wintry mix.
Right.
So tonight's snow, ice, sleet, and all that tonight.
And then during the day tomorrow, it's going to turn to rain?
Tomorrow they say in the morning icy, so we're going to get more ice coming, and then it'll turn to rain.
All right, very good. We'll see what happens.
Finally, we had an ice blower.
That is so mean. That is so cruel.
Now we're just joking around here, Mike.
I wish. Just joking.
They're already.
Oh man, I'm so sad you survived.
Wow. It really is a Monday, isn't it?
It really is.
Take me with you, David Fry. Right.
They're already preparing to shut down the airports in Kansas City and Chicago. Wind chills in the Midwest expected to fall to 30 below. Meteorologists are calling this new storm potentially historic. It may even include, for some, the threat of tornadoes.
I call it potentially hysterical.
New England going to get whacked too, probably?
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. My mom called me, the 90-year-old, after the last storm, and I got this message, Mike, and I was really worried. Yeah, She's 90 years old, and she said, I can't do it. I'm like, what? I can't stay here another minute. She had been in her house for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
And she was calling my sister up in Boston, come get her. And I said, well, that's okay. You know, we'll go. We know you're going to go into the new facility, and we can put the house. She said, no. I just have to get out of the house for a week. So she's staying with my sister. Thank God, with all this crap.
Panic has sunk in Iowa City. They're going to get about a foot tonight.
Are they really?
Yeah, and it's going to look bad.
Well, good luck, Steve and company out there. Yeah. I know Steve will be on the air.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
Serving the public.
Steve is the kind of guy that will go pick Tommy up, and that'll piss Tommy off.
Tommy'd like to stay home.
I don't think I could get it. Susie. Oh, you only live a block and a half. I'll come get you.
Now, America wants the Republicans to stop fighting with each other. A new Gallup poll shows 7 out of 10 of us think the mainstream GOP should at least listen to what the Tea Party has to say. 87% of Republican voters feel that way, and so do more than half of the Democrats who've been surveyed. Just over half of all Republicans say they support the Tea Party movement. Only 5% of them oppose it. It's a little odd because polls show the Republicans are viewed more favorably, significantly more favorably, than the Tea Party. Odd.
That is strange.
The other oddity is that the Tea Party may exist because of the work of one George W. Bush. That's what the head of the Virginia Tea Party Patriots told the Senate's Tea Party Caucus over the weekend. I'm going to see how many times I can use the phrase Tea Party in this newscast.
God, Tea Party Patriots, all this jargon.
I want you to use the word caucus. That's hot.
Quoting Jamie Ratke, the Tea Party movement would not exist today if the Republicans had not failed under the Bush years. He's talking about federal spending, which ran amok during the Bush administration's reign. Police in Dearborn, Michigan have arrested a man who was parked outside a mosque with a trunk full of fireworks. The 63-year-old California man with a history of mental illness was allegedly plotting to blow up the Islamic Center during a funeral attended by hundreds of people.
I'm glad you had a chance to mention that, Buzz, because I get a Facebook message every week. Whatever happened to Joe Ardinger?
Oh, no.
Russia.
This wasn't nice.
It's an unkind Monday.
Monday.
It's cruel Monday.
Mean Monday.
I like cruel Monday.
Can you be kind?
Can you be kind, Batman?
Russia managed to avoid a suicide bombing on New Year's Eve in Moscow's Red Square that could have killed hundreds. The female suicide bomber was in a safe house just before the attack, preparing her homemade belt of explosives and rigging the cell phone trigger. Bombers use phones, so a handler watching from somewhere else can detonate the bomb. Unfortunately for this bomber, she was using an active cell phone, and just when she had the whole thing set, her service provider sent her an automated Happy New Year text. And that's what happened.
Wow.
Russian authorities think she was part of the same Islamic radical group that bombed Moscow's airport last Monday, crisis averted by the phone company.
We don't pay attention to it. We have 9/11, and of course, no one can cannot undersell the horrid nature of that.
Right.
But they have had attack after attack after attack in Russia,
right.
And it's there's no sign of this thing letting up, and it's just terrible. They are really, I mean, and it could happen here. I mean, when you see the smaller attacks, they've attacked planes, and attacked. It's very, very scary over
it's
there.
It's an age, Mike, an age of civil unrest.
And right now, you know what? The one we didn't talk about Egypt at all today.
Right.
The one thing about that situation that concerns me. Mm-hmm. What kind of intel do we have in the world? When you hear a news story that says to you, we're not sure what kind of government, if Hosni Mubarak's government is kicked out of there,
right?
We don't know what we're going to get. How come you don't even have like a slight inclination?
Yeah, a guess.
Who's gonna roll in there? That is scary to me that we have no idea that there. No one's saying that the potential of another Iran's religious government is we have that potential over there.
I just got my fingers crossed on one ground rule. No more leaders named Hosni.
Hosni.
It's a bad name.
Bad name, Rob.
Hosni Roosevelt, absolutely. Hosni Kennedy, none of them.
And finally, you can get almost anything on Amazon, but it's not always on purpose. A company called Medline accidentally posted a product for sale that's not meant for consumer purchase. It's a gastric bypass kit.
Wow.
Used by surgeons in hospitals, not by the general public. Very affordable, just a few hundred dollars, available for a while on Amazon.
A gastric bypass kit.
Look at me.
Jesus.
As soon as the mistake was noticed, the company took down the product. Medline says it's not sure how many it might have sold to non-professionals.
Oh, my God. Honey, where's my pocket knife?
They're asking civilians who bought the gastric bypass kit to return it. Kids, don't try this at home. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Buzz. Our show today was brought to you by Rip Digital. Convert your entire CD collection to high-quality MP3 files without spending hours at the computer. And Rip Digital can find album art and track information that iTunes can't. Get rid of the CD clutter and get your long-lost favorites onto your iPad or home theater system. Rip Digital converted all of Buzz's Thomas Edison music.
All his dictaphone wire.
His dictaphones. And they can do the same for you. Click the Rip Digital ad on our website or visit ripdigital.com.
You know, I bought one of those do-it-yourself kits. Yeah. It's called Suit Yourself.
Suit Yourself. That's pretty good, Rob. That's it. We got to get out of here. We'll see you tomorrow with the rain, the ice, and the snow. Some of us might be calling in by a phone tomorrow. We'll see what happens. Who knows what tomorrow will bring. We'll have a show for you.
It's promised to no man, Mike.
It's tomorrow. Yes, exactly right. So long, everybody.
Bye. Ciao, ciao. Bye. Bye.